thankful for those of you that are here. Tonight, I got to thinking about a passage in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it actually got me thinking a little more about some other things. And so I got to look a little deeper, and I realized I don't understand everything. In fact, sometimes what we think, to Corey's point this morning at the table, sometimes what we think about the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3, where the illustration is used where Moses has to cover his face with the veil, where we don't understand that particular passage because we don't understand the original passage that Pat read for us in Exodus chapter 34 a moment ago. So I was looking a little closer at Exodus chapter 34, and I began to ask myself some questions about Moses and particularly things that happened in Mount Sinai. So tonight, the lesson is not going to be super, super practical. So just hold on and get your waders on, get your pen out, do all that kind of stuff, because it's going to be a little more thought-provoking, because as I've learned to teach throughout the years, Marty Broadwell says something. He says, what do you want your audience to think or do differently? Well, tonight I want us to think differently, okay? So that's the point. You're going to be able to make application from it, I would imagine, or you're going to have additional questions, which is great. But this is a very cerebral lesson. I'm just getting that out there, so just go ahead and be ready for that. So you're ready. So let's start with a little quiz here. You ready? So we've got the mountain here. I don't know if this is Mount Sinai or not, but it's a mountain in the desert, and so it's going to portray Mount Sinai. So Moses. How long was Moses on Mount Sinai, on the actual mountain itself? 40 days? 80 days? 80 plus days? Very common answer, 40 days, right? We just read Exodus chapter 34, that Moses was there in verse 28, 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking. Well, I got to tell you, the answer is actually 80 plus days. What we have, and there is some argument and there is some question about exactly how many climbs Moses took on Mount Sinai or up Mount Sinai, but there is a minimum of 7, possibly 8 different climbs. And what you have is something that we just go through and I've been guilty of this. We're there at Mount Sinai. Moses is on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights because what happens on the 40th day? Well, they send the calf out. Well, wouldn't you know that the 40 days and the 40 nights of the glowing face of Moses was not the same 40 days and 40 nights? It was, in fact, a second 40 days and 40 nights. So you've got Moses up there a minimum of 80 days, and that's not it, because we don't deal with chapter 19. We don't deal with chapter 21 through chapter 24. And so what I want us to go through tonight as we think about Mount Sinai and we think about this, I want us to understand that the things with Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai, it didn't happen in 40 days and 40 nights. It was over a much longer extended period, okay? We're okay with where we're trying to get tonight. So let's see in our text. Let's start with climb number 1. Go to Exodus chapter 19. If you go to Exodus chapter 19, you've got this instant, and we talk about this quite frequently, where Israel, I will make them my special people. I will be your God and you'll be my people, to Michael's point this morning, or Eddie's point this morning, in the faithfulness that is going on. But I want you to notice very carefully that in verse 3 of 19, you'll notice that the people are camped in verse 2 in the wilderness, while Moses, verse 3, went up to God, and Jehovah called him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say. He calls to the people. And that is where he gives them that statement, I will be your God, you'll be my people, a special treasure, a holy possession, all of those things, if you'll be my people. So he goes up, and there is when he receives that information. They will be his special people. Now look down with me now in verse 6, at the end of verse 6. Now these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people, and he set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded them. So he comes down, or at least comes to the people where they have been separated, and he comes out and he says, all the elders come, and all the people say, all that the Lord has said, we will do. They enter into that agreement together, and so the people consent it. Okay? That is before he ever receives the Ten Commandments, right? So this is all before you're going to be special. Moses, you come out to me. He comes up. I'm going to make this people special. Go tell the people I'm going to make them special. Moses comes down, tells the people they are going to be God's special people, if he will be their God. And they say, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Okay, we got climb number one. Let's get climb number two. Now this is where climb number two gets a little iffy. Two and three may go together, but I am thinking that the end of chapter 19 is all one thing. And I don't know that that's right, but what I have is two might actually be two and three. There is argument about that, but you'll see in verse 9. So notice here in verse 9, or excuse me, the end of verse 8. So let's just read in the first part of verse 8. So all the people answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And notice this. And Moses reported the words of the people to Jehovah. So we got Moses going back and reporting the words to Jehovah. Okay? And he says all these different things. And so then the Lord says to him, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever. So he's told by Jehovah that he is going to come and he's going to speak to Moses out of the cloud so that the people would believe that he was speaking to him, right? All that, remember that whole thing with crossing the Red Sea, it was the similar type of thing. It's all to show that I am speaking to you and through you. And the Lord says, I'm going to come speak to you out of the cloud. Well, you have there at the end of verse 9, so when Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. So it seems to me that this may go to this same type of thing, that the Lord also said to him, I'm coming on the third day. So go and consecrate the people. So this is where you have set off the mountain. Don't let any animal touch the mountain. Nobody come forward to the mountain. Not even the priest. Not anybody. Everybody needs to wash their garments and be consecrated, because on the third day, verse 15, I'm coming. So what you have is, I'm going to make you a special people, interaction or climb number one. Interaction, climb number two is, I'm coming so that the people will believe that I'm speaking to you. And either climb number three or still part of climb number two, I'm coming in 3 days, or on the third day, okay? So get ready for me to come. So Moses, verse 20, So Jehovah came down on Mount Sinai, and he goes up. So then now notice verse 14 here of this. So Moses went down, and he consecrated the people. You have him there, Moses went down from the mountain. So there's your trip number two. Okay? Now, number three is the Lord appears in the thick cloud and the dark smoke. And so you could see that coming in verse 16, where the thunderings and the trumpet and all of those things. And so Moses, verse 17, he brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. So there they are, and the mountain is blocked off. Don't come near it. But they were all there, not in the camp, but outside the camp, at the foot of the mountain, and the Lord calls for him to come up. So verse 18. So Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because Jehovah had descended in fire on it. And the smoke of it went up as the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The very thing that God said he would do is happening right here and right now. So then, verse 20. So Jehovah came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So there you got Moses in climb number 3. He's called by Jehovah, you come up here. No animal, nobody else should come to this thing, but Moses, I want you to come up as he is called in front of all of the people. So what is he told to do here? Well, verse 23, he's told to warn the people. So warn them. They cannot come up to Mount Sinai. For you yourself warned us, set limits around. Like, go down and warn these people. But notice verse 24, Jehovah said, go down and come up bringing Aaron with you. So he goes down, supposed to warn the people, including the priest, verse 23, but you need to go back down and come back up and bring Aaron only with you. Well, we don't normally think about that, do we? Where do we think about Aaron being? Aaron's in the camp while the golden calf is there. So what we've got is we've got 3 climbs before Aaron has ever left back. In fact, on the 4th climb is the time when Aaron comes up, right? It's a very interesting thing that it's constantly up this mountain, down this mountain. Up this mountain, down this mountain. And so Moses, in verse 25, Moses went down to the people and he told them. We're just reading Exodus 19 and we're not really seeing the climb, are we? We don't normally picture that. But yet that seems to be the case, that we've got a lot of activity up and down this mountain. And we probably normally think that chapter 20 and the 10 commandments takes place on the mountain, don't we? Well, that doesn't seem to be the case. In fact, it seems to be that the Lord spoke these commandments out of the fire. You look in chapter 20 and verse 1, and I want you to notice this very carefully. And who spoke all these words? God spoke all of these words. You would see throughout the text, through 19, through 21, through all these other things, that Moses commanded all that the Lord had said. But here, chapter 20 and verse 1 says, and God spoke these things. Well, I want you to hold your finger right here in Exodus chapter 20. And I want you to notice Deuteronomy chapter 9. How Moses recounts this story of the whole thing happening at Sinai and the whole time happening at Sinai. So you've got Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now I want you to notice the interesting phrase that is used in verse 10. So Jehovah gave me the 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words that Jehovah had spoken with you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day in which you were assembled, on the day of the assembly. I heard a hum, right? We normally think the 10 commandments happen on Mount Sinai. Moses is up there with God for 40 days and 40 nights giving the 10 commandments. It doesn't appear that way. Moses says, you heard him speak these things to you out of the fire. Which is what makes more sense when we go back to Exodus chapter 20, isn't it? When the people are terrified, in verse 18, all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and the people were afraid, and they trembled, and they stood far off, and they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak to us. You see, they were used to Moses relaying the information from God to them, but when God, Jehovah, spoke to them directly, that was too terrifying. Moses, you speak to us. Well, that makes a little more sense, doesn't it? But he's supposed to come down, and who was he supposed to bring back up with? Old Aaron is supposed to go down with him. So what you have is interaction number four. Climb number four. And you'll notice there in chapter 20, that notice verse 21. So the people, they stood far off, said, we don't want to hear from the Lord. You go talk to him and you come back. So the people, verse 21, stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. So he goes right into the midst of the fire, we would say. He goes right into that darkness. So he drew near where God was. And you'll notice that chapters 21 through 23, and that's where it kind of leaves us at the end of really chapter 20, is you got all these various laws. You got laws about the altars. You got laws about slaves. You got laws about social things. You just got various laws that are taking place. And then you get to the end of chapter 23, and you've got this great promise of the promise of Canaan. And it's, I'm going to give you this land. This land is going to be yours. And all of these different things. But then now, you get to chapter 24. And I want you to notice chapter 24, verse 1. So then he said, come up to Jehovah. You and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel and worship from afar. So in this time in which he is drawing near and getting these other things, it seems as though he's called to either come up higher or to go down and get them. And that's why I call this one an interaction. Because I don't know if he's actually on the mountain, as it's stated before he went up, or if it was as he just got close to the mountain. I'm not sure of that, but it seems as though maybe he's at close to the mountain. I don't know. But you see my point though, right? Is that he's now being called by Jehovah to come up higher, but not Aaron only, right? So this is another trip up. This is Aaron along with the others who would be priests. Nadab, Abihu, who would be priests, and we know them later on. They would be the ones that are struck dead because they offered the profane fire, right? And then these 70 elders of Israel. So, here what you got now is you got Moses came down in chapter 24, verse 3. So Moses came and told the people all the rules or the words of the Lord. Probably the things that he had just received in 21 to 23. And what did the people say at the end of verse 3? All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Again, they enter into this thing, they enter into this covenant, and this is where Moses has them kill all these animals. Where he kills the animals, he sprinkles the blood on them and on the altar and all of these things, and so the covenant is ratified with blood. It is started in that way. But now, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to come up with Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, right? And the 70 elders. So that's where you have climb number 5. Look now in verse 9. So then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. And there under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. And they beheld God and ate and drank. That is a very unique situation that happens there. They got to see God. And it says, and God didn't lay a hand on them. Why? Because God wanted them to see him, didn't he? And they ate and they drank. Well, what did Moses do for 40 days and 40 nights? Not eat or drink. So it's not that same trip. It's another trip, right? We got another one that is going on. So they saw God and they ate and they drank. And maybe the reason why they got to see God, it's been speculated, is because they were going to be the ones that were offering the sacrifices. They were going to be the priests who would do that on a regular basis. But why that is, we do not know. But he climbs up there. So you've got it. Now you've got climb number 6. Look in chapter 24 and verse 12. So they saw They saw the Lord and they ate and they drank. So Jehovah said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone, which the law and the commandments, which I have written on them for your instructions. So now Moses is supposed to come up and receive the tablets of stone. Now we're getting into the area in which we're familiar with, aren't we? Now we're getting into those 10 commandments that we think are written on the stones, right? And the breaking of those things. He went up because why? God, Jehovah, told him, go up to receive that. Notice who he takes with him this time, verse 13. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. Again, Moses is not alone. He's got Joshua with him, but he left Aaron and Hur behind, verse 14 tells us. And he leaves Aaron and Hur in charge of the camp. So if you guys have any problems, any dispute, verse 14 says, you take it up with Aaron and Hur. Now do we remember Hur? Yeah, he was the one that held the arms up of Moses, wasn't he? Along with Aaron while Joshua went on to fight the battle. The very first victory that they have. So again, here we are. So then our text tells us, that verse 15, that Moses went up on the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of Jehovah dwelt on Mount Sinai. That picture that Eddie had up in class this morning with the fire above the tabernacle, the Michael's word, the Shekinah glory, right? That was what seemed to be covering, or a cloud of something was there. His presence was there for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And he began, and he showed him the glory. So 17, the appearance of the glory of Jehovah was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud, and he went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Well, up there, he receives all of these different laws about the tabernacle, about the priests, their clothing. So you would see that in chapter 25, the Ark of the Covenant, chapter 26, chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, chapter 30. And then chapter 31 is about the person or the people who were going to build and design this tabernacle, the craftsmen. So a lot of this is dealing with the priest stuff, which guess who had just seen? God. The priest had. So Moses is now receiving this information while on the mountain. And so as we saw there in verse 18, he was there 40 days and 40 nights. Now, did he eat or drink during that time? Well, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, we already know that in the second 40-day stint, he did not eat or drink. But I want you to notice Deuteronomy chapter 9 as he recounts these things. So notice in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and if you speak up in verse 8. So even at Horeb, you provoked, and that's another name for Sinai there, the mountain of God. You provoked Jehovah to wrath. And Jehovah was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. Remember that? The whole golden calf thing? He wanted to kill, but Moses said, don't do it. So then notice what he says here in verse 9. I remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Even in the first 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat or drink water. Because he will specify back in verse 18 here of chapter 9 that he did not eat or drink the second time, because he gives a reason why he goes back the second time. Well, that's not the way I normally think about it happening. Is that you got a guy the first time fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Then guess what? He has to come back down the mountain. He comes down the mountain and he hears the sound, and it's not war in the camp, but it's celebration. And so he breaks the tablets. And he slams them on the ground, and he grinds up that calf, right? And then what does he do right away? Go back to Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Why don't you go back to Exodus 32? So he says, man, who's on the Lord's side? And the Levites stand up. And so they kill all these other people. Right? And so it is that day in which they are chosen, that family, to be the priests. So notice what Moses says in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30. So this is the day after the grinding of the golden calf. So he says, so the next day, Moses said to the people, you've sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to Jehovah. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So we got climb number 7 taking place here, where Moses returns up to intercede for the people. Do you see that right there? I will go up and try to make atonement. I want you to notice how he says that in Deuteronomy 9. I want you to flip to Deuteronomy 9. I should have told you to hold your finger in Deuteronomy 9 because it's the only other place we were going back to. And I think we might go back there one more time. But I want you to notice in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 9 that this is where he threw the tablets of stone out of his hand and he broke them. So then verse 18. Then I lay prostrate before Jehovah as before, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all the sin that you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. And I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure that Jehovah bore against you so that he was ready to destroy you. But Jehovah listened to me that time also. You understand what he was doing? At the end of the first 40 days, and we learn from Deuteronomy 9 that it was on the 40th day. The day in which he breaks the tablets of stone, that was day 40. And the Lord says, I'm going to destroy these people. And Moses says, please don't. What will they say about you? He says here in verse 18, I laid prostrate as before. What that tells me is probably on that 40th day when the Lord wanted to destroy the people, Moses laid down and begged, said, don't destroy them. Right? So then he comes down to see what it was all about. And then he's upset. He breaks the stones. And he realizes, man, I've got to go do something about this before God. What I did before was not enough. Let me go and intercede for these people. And so he lay prostrate before the Lord, neither eating nor drinking for 40 days. It's a long time. In fact, Noah asked me yesterday, he said, how long can I go without eating? I was like, I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, somehow, we got people going 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking. But in Moses' case, we almost had 80 days without him eating or drinking. He came down, he ground the calf, he didn't drink the water, because guess what? That water was bitter, wasn't it, from the grinding of that. He didn't drink that water. We don't have record of him eating. He's gone probably 80 days, potentially, without eating or drinking, or at the most, eating 1 to 2 times in that 80 days. That is an interesting thing, right? So as we see there, he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, and that gets us to the text that Pat read in Exodus 34 at the end. And I want you to go to this text, because this was the text that got me thinking about this whole thing. And the very simple application that I want to make tonight as we kind of go down just a little bit, a little more word for word in this text, is that if it's accurate that he has basically spent 80 days without eating or drinking, how would you expect him to look? Look incredibly weak, pale as can be. You got a guy that would probably be struggling to go up the mountain. I want you to think about that, right? He's just gone 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking. Even if he has a meal of food, it is still going to be quite the climb to get back into the top of the mountain. And then here we are, going up this. He's 80 days. He comes down, and we would expect him to look all weak and all just pathetic. But notice verse 29. So when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, this would be the second set, in his hand, he came down from the mountain, and Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. You see, what I didn't point out was the passage that Eddie read this morning when the Lord passed by him, verse 6, proclaiming that he is faithful to the nth generation, right? And he is merciful and just and all those things, verse 6. That was at the request of Moses saying at the end of the time, can I see your glory? And hadn't he already seen his glory? They beheld him, he ate, and he drank. So why ask again? Because didn't he feel that he and the people were separated from God? That sin of that golden calf had separated them from so far, and he wanted to be reunited and know that everything was going to be okay. And what did the Lord tell him? Jehovah is, starting off, faithful. Like, you have already been unfaithful to me, as Eddie pointed out, but I am going to be faithful to you. I am going to deal with the sin of this people, but I also will forgive the sin of this people. And I will hold it to the generation after generation after generation. But I'm just. I'm righteous. I am merciful. Here I am. And Moses falls down before him and worships. And Moses, after this time, the covenant is renewed. You would see that back in the passage read in verse 27, that the covenant is brought back up. Just like before, chapter 19, all that the Lord has said we will do. Then I think it was trip number 4 or trip number 5 when they actually ratified the covenant with the blood. Now you've got new stones set up, new covenant set in place for the renewing of that because I am faithful. So he came down, as we said, with those two tablets. And verse 29, as we said, his face was shining, and he didn't even know it. Doesn't that just kind of go to prove what he says in Deuteronomy? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus quotes that when he is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says there in Matthew 4, and after the 40 days, he was hungry. How hungry do you think Moses was? But Moses, having been in the presence of God and been close to God and seen God and His glory, he would say, man, I don't need food. I need to know that we are right, that we are okay. Doesn't that sometimes paint a picture in our own personal relationships as we've been dealing with that in marriages and understanding our relationship to Christ? That when something's not going right in your familial relationship, whether it's parent-child, husband-wife, brother-sister, these things are so problematic that we would rather just our problem be resolved than eating food or drinking. In fact, we maybe not even be able to eat or drink because the problem is so big for us. But what we need is God. What we need is these things coming from God. And Moses is shining because he's been in the presence of God. Another application of that is very simple. Sometimes people see our change before we ever see it ourselves. That's part of what 2 Corinthians 3 is talking about, is that we're all looking into this mirror, that we are being transformed by this light, and we're just being changed continually, and you and I might not see it. But the people, others looking at us, may see that huge jump or that huge growth because we are spending so much time with God. That's a good thing, right? That's what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is immerse yourself in these things, all these various things like the doctrine and the public reading, so that your progress may be evident to all. Moses didn't even know how much he was, and so the people were afraid of him. The people were afraid of Jehovah, now they're afraid of Moses. And let me back up, let me make one more point. Doesn't it make more sense going back to the first time with the golden calf? Why the people said, as about this man Moses, we don't know what happened to him. If he'd been going up and down, up and down, up and down, and then he got a volcano or a thunderstorm on the top of the mountain, and the guy has been gone for 40 days, wouldn't we start to think that the dude is dead too? We probably would. He didn't take any food with him. He didn't take any water with him. He's up on this mountain. You understand how the people were probably afraid. There was more to it than just we want to serve these other things. But yet there was some human element in that, right? Is that we don't know what happened to him. Well, he comes down and they're now afraid. So when he goes up ahead the next time, they're like, well, he's coming back down eventually. And so the people were like, we don't want to look at you with the glow. We don't want to see that. Please cover your face. So he put a veil over his face while he spoke to the people. Or after he spoke to the people. So he's walking around and he's got a veil on his face. And then he would take that veil off when he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord. And he would come back out and he would tell the people and he'd put the veil back on. And that was the passage in 2 Corinthians 3 that I'll get into maybe more next month. That Paul says, that's people that just don't understand. That's people being afraid of what God has to say and not grasping that. Well, there's a lot to be said about 2 Corinthians 3. And I hope that I haven't overloaded you with so much information and so much facts tonight besides this. Man, isn't it amazing that all of that went on? And we limit it to 40 days and 40 nights. And yet there was so much more. And that's one of the things that the New Testament brings up. If this event was so great, and it pales in comparison to the real deal, it was a shadow of things to come. It was to point us to Christ. How much more so, the Hebrew writer would say. And it's just one of those things that like, wow. And then you can see all the shadows throughout, et cetera, et cetera. And I say all that to say, the more we pay attention to the details, the better we understand God for us. Again, sometimes we quibble over the details because it's hard to understand. But I tell you what we do understand out of this, I hope. It's more complicated and there are more steps than what we normally think of an event that most everyone that has any religious background out there is aware of. The Ten Commandments weren't even given to Moses on the mountain. They were spoken to all the people out of the midst of the fire. Isn't that crazy? I think I'm right about that. I might be wrong. Never. It wouldn't be the first time, would it? But we got it there. There may be somebody here this evening that is ready to enter into a covenant with God, that is ready to have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb and be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of the sins. Or maybe this evening you need the prayers of the congregation. Why don't you come now as we stand and as we sing.